Through the circle, drop pass Smith to the back door. They score! Knights take a 1-0 lead. Brandon McNabb from the right side scores against his old club.
Here we are, Ed Graney Review Journal, Clay Baker, Jared, the intern. He's a GW kid. He says he's voting for the Knights, but he's got some capitals in him. He knows Ovi, and he's in town from George Washington. Pleased to be joined by now, Vegas Golden Knights defenseman Brandon McNabb. Join us here on the press box. Brandon, before we get into the Capitals, I cannot believe Gerard's out there. I cannot believe you guys did not at least force him to take a hot lap like Trotz did. Could this be something in the future, or do you not think Turk's ever going around that fast again?
Oh, I don't. I don't. We'll see that.
That's
very
not
highly unlikely. Yeah, very highly unlikely.
You now know who you play. So, and I know beforehand, you're like, everyone's like, look, it doesn't matter. It's Stanley Cup Finals. They're going to be great teams. But at the end of the day, it's like Turk said before the Winnipeg series, look, you want to be home because you know if there is a seven, you have seven at home. In the back of your mind as you're watching that, does that seep in last night? Like, you know what? They're both really good teams, but we get to start at home if this team wins.
Yeah, no, obviously we love playing at home. We've been good at home all year, so to have home ice advantage, I think it is an advantage for our team. But, you know, Washington's a great team, and, you know, our mindset was, you know, they're both great teams, and it's going to be a big challenge, and we're going to have to have all 20 guys play in their A game. So, you know, it's going to be a fun challenge, and, you know, I think everyone's pretty excited.
I think everyone was extremely impressed at how both you and Nate Schmidt were able to handle the top lines at both Winnipeg and San Jose. Talk about maybe compare and contrast what you saw between Bufflin and Wheeler and what you're going to see in Washington.
Yeah, you know, that Wheeler line, they were a very good line. You know, they had it all, they had speed, skill, and they worked well with each other. So it was a tough task for us, but I thought we handled it pretty good. You know, they were able to get... Scheifele got 4 goals, I think, in 2 games, but, you know, there was other 3 games, you know, he didn't get a whole lot, so we did a pretty good job at containing him and not letting him get in a whole lot. But, you know, Ovechkin, he's a heavy shooter, you know, you got to take away his time and space, and I think a real key guy is going to be Knetsov, you know, because he's, you know, basically sets up Ovechkin all the time. He's a fast player that, you know, can make a lot of plays and open space up for other guys, so... We're going to have to play tight as a unit of 5 when we're out there against them. And, you know, we're going to have to outwork them and play our game, and we'll be okay.
You know, you mentioned his name, and his name will be mentioned a lot before and during the series. And it doesn't really matter what side you're on. I think if you're a sports fan and you watched him win last night and afterwards get emotional because he's finally made it to this stage, you kind of got to feel that's a cool story. That's sports are about these stories. It's not only about the Knights having their season, but a guy like this now gets there. When you mention Ovechkin and you take other names that we hear as hockey fans throughout the year, whether it be McDavid, Crosby, those kind of guys, some younger than others, obviously some older, compare him, I guess, to the top players. What makes him like those guys when you have to go against him?
Yeah, he's, you know, one of the best goal scorers, you know, in this generation, if not all time. You know, he's proven it year after year. You know, he's a superstar. He's, you know, a superstar around the league, and he's a guy, you know, obviously he's their captain, he's their leader, and when he's going, everyone follows. So he's going to be a guy we have to key on, but, you know, we can't let that distract us in our overall game, but it's definitely something we got to be aware of when he's on the ice.
Brandon McNabb here with us. Vegas Golden Knights open up game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals on Monday, Memorial Day, 5 p.m. They drop the puck at T-Mobile Arena. Brandon, talk in detail and explain your relationship with Nate Schmidt and what's it like to be paired with somebody who always has your back on the ice.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's great on and off the ice. He's, you know, a fun guy. He's always having a good time. He has a smile on his face, so he brings a lot of, you know, positive energy in the room. And then on the ice, he's, you know, a phenomenal player. You know, I think he's grown a lot this year. I think a lot of guys on this team have, and he's accepted this role as, you know, plays a lot of minutes, plays around 25 minutes a game, and, you know, he chips in the offense and he's very good defensively. So he's been great being able to play with him, and it's been awesome that we've been able to develop pretty good chemistry.
Well, it's bound to happen to one of you guys, and it happened to him. Is hockey like other sports in that he knows Washington's roster best and he can give guys pointers, or is hockey different in that sense? You always ask guys, hey, you played with them in a football game, break him down, break his game down. Can he help in the sense of that, or you're going to watch the tape and you know these guys so well that it's not that huge of an advantage that your line mate now is from that team?
Yeah, like, I mean, he knows little things. He knows how guys, the tendencies and whatnot. So I think that definitely helps him, and, you know, he's already been giving me some advice on what guys like to do.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's, yeah, it's how we play as a team. You know, it's, I'm sure he's, you know, excited, and there's going to be that extra nerves and exciting. But, you know, we're going to have to control our emotions and just make sure we play our game.
Hockey players have long memories, and for many Capitals teams over the years, Marc-Andre Fleury was kind of like the Prince of Darkness. He was the guy keeping them away from where they wanted to go, and now again they have to face him again. Do you feel like, because this is a different team for both the Capitals and now the Golden Knights, that perhaps the superstition and the stigma may have worn off?
I don't know. I don't know about that. We love Flower. He's, you know, amazing teammate, and obviously everyone knows how good he is on the ice. And, you know, we're not here without him, and he's a big part of this team. And, you know, he's definitely going to be a key guy in this series for us if we want to win.
How does he keep everybody loose on the ice and during the games? Because, you know, he's behind you, and you always seem to feel like you can defer to him, not only just for great athletic play, but for leadership as well.
Yeah, definitely. He's a big part of the leadership in our room. You know, he's been here multiple times. He's got 3 cups. And, you know, you see him out there just making great saves, and he's laughing after, having a good time. I think he's at his best when, you know, he's enjoying the game and playing, you know, important hockey. So, yeah, he definitely, you know, keeps us calm. And, you know, maybe at some points we rely on him too much, which, you know, we don't really like. But, you know, that's what good teams need. They need someone who can backstop you and, you know, bail you out when you need it.
I asked a couple guys in the room the other day to quantify what we're now reading. The narrative here is, where does this rank in all-time sports stories? And obviously you're going to be compared, just because of the odds, to Leicester City, to the Miracle on Ice, and other people love to compare these stories, as subjective as they are, because there's really no way to determine which is the most incredible. And yet, I was interested to hear people like Spies and Tatar and these people say, you know what, it's not a story yet because we haven't finished anything. It does seem to be a consistent narrative in your room that this has been nice, but as Marchessault yesterday said, all we got is a hat. We have to finish this. Do you think that that's important to remember that, you know, this has been incredible, but those 4 wins are going to probably be the hardest you're going to have to earn all year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this series is going to be definitely the toughest test on the highest stage. And, yeah, we know as a group, you know, we've accomplished a lot this year. And, you know, it's been a crazy fun ride, but, you know, nothing, it's not done. You know, like Marcus said, it's just a hat. Everyone wants to win. You know, you don't want to come second place. There's nothing in second place. So, you know, our focus is winning in this game and keeping this fun ride going.
When you were a young player coming out of Saskatchewan and playing for Kootenay with Cody Eakin, and you guys would often go against the weak Kings, and Kelly McCrimmon was a part of that, and you guys won the Western League Hockey Championship all those years ago, but even as a young player, what was your, did you ever actually have like a fantasy of like, I'm going to enter a game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, and is this kind of like how you could see this, your career setting up to this point right now here in Vegas?
No, you never expect, I never expected to be in Vegas on the Stanley Cup Finals, that's for sure. But, you know, as a younger kid, you definitely dream of it. And, you know, you picture yourself there, but you never know if it's going to happen. And to be here, it feels pretty amazing. And it's been a lot of hard work up to this point, but there's, you know, a lot more work we got to do to finish this. But, yeah, looking back and, you know, winning that championship in junior, you know, that was a pretty big thing for us. It was exciting times for us. You know, winning anything is fun, so that was a big moment in our life. And, you know, if we could do it here again, you know, it would be unbelievable.
How would you describe what's going on at the practice facility like today at City National Arena for somebody who has not been there? How would you go and describe that, the scene and the frenzy that's for the Golden Knights right now?
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. It's pretty remarkable. You know, almost all year it's been, we've had, I don't know if it's been sold out all year, it definitely is now, but we've had unbelievable fan base, and, you know, they're excited, we're excited, and you know, it's just great to see that, you know, we developed such great fans early in the franchise.
And for you personally, how has it been for, like, living in Vegas and the way maybe people may have treated you in September as opposed to now, for example, like, I mean, you're probably getting recognized from Uber drivers to restaurants. I mean, go over a couple of stories of how, like, things have changed and the perception has changed where you may have gone somewhat anonymous in September, but now everybody recognizes you.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of crazy. It definitely happened. I just went for, you know, lunch yesterday, and there was a couple ladies who, you know, were at the shootings, and they were just thanking me and for all the support. You know, they said, you know, it really helped the city heal. And when you hear that, you know, it feels pretty good that, you know, we mean something to this city, and, you know, we've helped the city out through the tragedy that happened. So, you know, it's just amazing that we're able to be here for this city and make the city grow together.
Follow him on Twitter at Nabarro3. Huge series ahead for him and his teammates. VGK versus the Washington Capitals. Game one of the best of seven, Monday, 5 p.m. Braden, we thank you for the time. Best of luck in the series, and we'll talk to you after each game.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Braden McNabb, of your Vegas Golden Knights Twitter handle, at Nabber, NABBER03. Yeah, he and Schmidt were huge against that front line in Winnipeg. And I know Girard likes to say he doesn't match lines, which is a bunch of nonsense, because he does match lines, because you should match lines when you have defensemen working together as well as Schmidt and McNabb.
Well, to think that it's just random occurrences
is
wrong.
No, it's not random occurrences. Those guys were on against the first line all the time. And then when they made a switch and they thought it was going to be the first line, they're jamming off because, like, it's not our time yet. So you do match because you have to. You have to have your best against the best. And McNabb and Schmidt have really worked into a nice tandem there defensively in front of Fleury. And here comes Ovechkin. And, you know, as he said, he's a generational scorer, a generational player like the Crosbys and the Malkins and the McDavids and people like that. And I just think it's going to be really cool to watch. Not only can the Vegas Golden Knights close out the story, but that Alexander Ovechkin has made the Stanley Cup final. We both said beforehand, not only didn't want to go to Tampa, nothing against it, but a lot against it. Didn't want to go to Tampa. When you think you now have a general manager, I've done a little research, and I'll ask you to do the same. I have yet to really find a general manager in sports whose current team has advanced to the championship round, and he built both teams in the final, which George McPhee did. That is very weird in terms of Karp and I were talking about the facility the other day. I'm like, and Steve came up with a few, but then he goes, no, because of this, or no, because of that. George McPhee built both of these teams.
Yeah, he created both machines.
It's very, I mean, I don't even know, like I said, of the four sports in North America, has that happened? I can't think of that.
It would almost be like Bill Belichick having to go and face the Patriots with a different team. You know,
with a different team. Okay, right. And people brought up the Lakers, but Cart made a good point. Jerry West built the Lakers. Pat Riley coached them. Pat Riley built the Heat. Eric Spoelstra coached them. I mean, it's different. You know, they didn't. It's who built them. McPhee built the Capitals. I mean, of course, there's a few different guys on the team now than when he was there. He got fired, but, I mean, he was there 17 years. He had Ovechkin. I mean, he had the main culprits there.
Yep.
And obviously, he built the Knights from scratch. So the storylines in this series going forward, Nate Schmidt being a Washington Capital, Fleury, his past and his beating the Capitals, McPhee building both teams, the storylines are far, Ovechkin period, he's just a great story anyway, are far more compelling, I think, than had they played Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and sometimes when you have these little, like Brian McClellan is the Capitals general manager, there's a fight there for McClellan to also earn his own identity, winning a Stanley, you know, winning a President's Trophy two times McClellan has, and now finally making the Stanley Cup Finals appearance. This is something where he wants to go and make his own mark, and there's always that master-pupil situation there. But McClellan, a professional in his own right, but for McPhee, and we should have asked Braden this, has he ever come down and actually talked about the Capitals itself? I mean, you would have to think, like, would anybody ever have a large, a real need to go and defeat Washington? I don't think McPhee's like that. McPhee doesn't need to. Every player on that team understands how badly McPhee wants
this game. Oh, you know it burns inside him.
Yes.
I don't care if you're somewhere 7 years, 17 or 27. When you're fired, and then you get a chance to then play and beat the team that fired you, of course there's an extra burning inside. Now, you and I both know he's not the greatest talker anyway. He doesn't talk a lot. He's actually pretty good when you get him, and he'll talk about stuff. apparently he's at the Combine in Buffalo this week. They're all scouting because the draft's coming up. So very coincidentally, he's staying away from this because he knows when the Washington media hit town here in a few days,
he knows.
Who are they going to want to talk to? They're like, where the hell's George?
That's the story.
You know, I mean, that's going to be the story. Well, George is in Buffalo scouting players for the draft. And oh, what good timing for George that he and Kelly McCrimmon are off scouting, you know, players for the upcoming draft and to add more players for the Golden Knights. At some point, though, George will have to come back for game one. And my guess is the Washington writers won't stop until they say, you know what, we need to talk to him. I mean, you know, and look, I think eventually he'll hold some kind of session. I don't think you cannot do that. That wouldn't be fair either. I mean, look, you built both teams. And by the way, it's a positive story. You built two teams that are playing in the Stanley Cup final. That's kind of an indictment of your ability, is it not? As a general manager, to build winning teams,
you know, they always say like the making of a great manager is that you can manage an organization and they don't need you; they can run without you. And think about this: like McPhee has now created two dynamic machines. That's got to be like
a
huge like sense of pride, or at least maybe he's not that kind of guy that will sit there and look and pat himself on the back. But one of these days, he's going to have to sit back and look at the perspective of how he's been able to build two fantastic teams together, and now they get to go face each other. And maybe that's why the Golden Knights, to me, are so appealing. And it's not just because of the achievement, but the way they handle success from top down, from coaches, executives, and players. The way they have dealt with this success is really astonishing. Not one player talks out of turn.
They're not like that.
No one makes unusual statements in the front office or personnel. Everyone is all on the same page and all aligned.
Well, and every time we've talked to McPhee about, you know, the team, the first thing he does is give credit to his scouting staff. Because, look, it makes sense. Those were the guys out scouting all these players, watching them last year.
He does.
You know, kind of guessing as to who would be exposed. And, okay, if Nate Schmidt's exposed, what do we think about him? And, you know, hey, Fleury's probably going to be exposed here because they have to make a decision here. And they're not giving up Murray, obviously, that quick. He's won him a couple cups. And, you know, James Neal's a UFA. He'll probably be exposed by Nashville. Perron, UFA, he'll probably be exposed. And let the Knights make the decision on the contract. So, they still had to make the smart decisions in building the team. But one thing about McPhee is he'll always give Kelly McCrimmon and, you know, the staff credit, even though, you know, obviously he played the biggest role in it. He ultimately had to have the final decision on who they picked. He's the GM. I think, look, eventually he'll be made available, and whether it be the Washington Post, whoever, will get their questions in. And I think for the most part, or if not all the part, it should be a very positive narrative. And like, there's one guy here who has the handprints on both of these teams, and they both got to the final. So, you know, pretty good job by him.
It's a great job.
You can't go too negative on that. I mean, the guy built two teams that are in the final.
But also relying on the people surrounding you to go and do the extra work and the hard work. Think about all those days and weeks while the Golden Knights offices were on Town Center, you know, in another part of Summerlin, as their corporate offices were like last summer and in the months previous. They were all busy on the road. Every one of them, from Kelly McCrimmon to all those guys, they were all busy on the road, putting their work in, just as they're doing now, and taking no time off to sit there and breathe in the accolades, because that's just not in their makeup. Bill Foley built this team with the right guys, and Gerard Gallant filled it with the right players.
When we come back, finally put the Jared and intern kid to work. He pulled some Trumpy sound.
Way to go, Jared.
Well, he saw me and he went right to Trumpy. We'll hear from Trumpy after this. And how the NFL with this anthem nonsense once again cannot get out of its own way. Back after this.